John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Down to verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There it is again. Neither let it be afraid. Amen. I want to talk to us and preach to us from my heart today on the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Turn to somebody there across your living room or next to you and say, there's comfort in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. In researching health issues in the United States, heart trouble is the leading cause of death for both men and women and across most racial and ethnic groups in the United States. According to the CDC, one person dies every 37 seconds in the U.S. from cardiovascular disease. One in four deaths are due to heart issues. This amounts to about 647,000 people, Americans, dying each year from heart trouble. Now, while this is a very serious issue, today we are going to focus on another type of heart trouble. And in fact, this heart trouble, it's more than any X-ray or any MRI or stress test can reveal, because you see, our lives are all filled with troubling situations that affect our hearts. Amen. Troubled hearts. Troubled hearts. Even before the occurrence of this COVID-19 virus, the world is full of trouble. Amen. Way back in Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible declares, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And this is true, and even more so in the day that we are living now. It is truly overwhelming to think about it all and the pressures of life. And right now, we're displaced, we're affected by this. I mentioned a few weeks ago that something like this can make you just want to run. It can make you just want to run away. But where are we going to run to? Because the whole world is impacted and everyone is affected by this. Trouble is everywhere. And in this situation that we find our world in today, that has impacted our everyday lives and changed up our daily habits and affected our jobs and our schools, and most significantly, it has impacted how we worship. But in the turbulence of our present situation, life is full of trouble. But it's with great faith today that I point our troubled hearts to the Word of God and the words of our Savior. In John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus, he was preparing them for his soon coming exit from this world and the crucifixion that was shortly ahead. It was the time that he would be leaving them to prepare a place for us so that one day he could come back again and that where he is, we may be also. No one could ever measure the pressure of that final week in our Lord's life here on this earth. And you know, sometimes we think we have pressure. We think we have trouble. We think that we are stressed out. But think of the pressure that was on the Lord there that final week. But he's God. He doesn't experience trouble. He doesn't experience pressure. But, oh, he was fully man as well. And in his flesh, he felt the weight. He felt the burden. He felt the pressure. In fact, it was more, far more significant than what anyone in our world has ever known, because he was to bear the sins of the whole world upon him. He who knew no sin would become sin for us. Mid that great pressure upon his heart, what is it that the Lord would say to his followers? What is it that he would seek to establish in their lives? What words would he leave for his church that was to come? I tell you, his thoughts were for us, and his thought was that he would pay the price for us, and he would lead us to glory. It's in this setting that we find the 14th chapter of John that we read today. This is often called the chapter of comfort. The chapter of comfort. If our world ever needed comfort, we need it today. We need it today. Amen. You won't find comfort in the media. You won't find comfort there. Every report that comes, it seems to be more doom and gloom. And the experts aren't offering any comfort. Our government officials, they don't have all the answers to this. And local officials, they're overwhelmed. People's lives are in turmoil. There's troubled hearts all around. But from the words of our Lord, in a time of more pressure than we have ever experienced or ever will experience, there's words of comfort to be found in John chapter 4, and it's that comfort that I want to share with us today. First of all, faith is a comfort. Faith is a comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, there's times that all we have is faith. All we have to go on is faith. But you see, faith alone can keep us. Faith when it does not make sense, and faith when it denies logic, faith when all else has failed. It's not enough just to believe that there is a God. We need to know who Jesus is. Amen. I pray that we would each have a revelation today of the mighty God in Christ. Amen. There is one God, as established from the very beginning, and in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let not your heart be troubled today, but when we know who Jesus is, there is a strength like no other. There is a comfort for our soul. There is help for troubled lives. There's peace in the midst of a storm. There's comfort in the middle of a trial. And yes, this is serious. Amen. Our world is being shaken, but let not your heart be troubled today. Amen. Let faith be a comfort to you. Let your faith stand in Christ alone. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to come next and how long this is going to last. It's a mystery right now, but if we'll put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to know all of that. We just trust that the Lord knows. And we know that he will bring us through. Amen. Yes, our faith, it rests in Jesus Christ. And he is faithful. Amen. That is a great comfort to us today. Amen. There's faith. Oh, and faith is a comfort. Secondly, there is comfort in hope. Amen. Hope is a comfort. It is a great comfort. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And what a beautiful preview of our future that is to come. You see, Jesus is the architect of the future. He went to prepare a place for you and for me, and he left us that hope of heaven. What a comfort it is to know that this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Amen. Thank the Lord. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And perhaps through all of this, we're getting a better understanding of that. that this life, this earthly life with everything that is so precious to us. But it's not our final destination. There's more than this. And right now we are being prepared for what's next. And the hope of that promise is a comfort to our souls. I pray that this time is an adjustment to our outlook of life. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You see, there's great fear around our world. There's great fear everywhere, but there needs to be an awakening in our lives. And yes, we should be wise, and yes, we should be careful. We should social distance and take precautions. But how many have been more focused on taking precautions for their physical body, which one day is going to pass away, and they haven't even given a thought to their spiritual life, which is going to live on forever and ever in either heaven or hell? I tell you, that's a message that needs to be said today. God, help us, because we do have a hope, not in the things of this world, but in that we've made our hearts right with the Lord, and he is the architect of the future, and that hope is a great comfort to us. Third, there is the comfort of his return. He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Paul told the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." His return is a comfort. Hey, I want to tell you, Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. The signs are all around us. Amen. And if you've been born again, that should not trouble you, but that should be a comfort to your soul. But if you have not been born again, then that should be the most troubling news that you have ever heard, because your heart is not ready today. Amen. But I want to tell you, you don't have to go to bed tonight with that troubling sensation in your soul. But you can have the blessed salvation that Jesus paid the price for at Calvary. And that's what we're celebrating today on this Easter, through his death and his burial and his resurrection. The plan of salvation is laid out for us. Amen. We must repent of our sins. We must be baptized in his name. We must be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is a comfort. That is a comfort to know that our soul can be ready, and that we've been born again, and then knowing that Jesus is returning for us. He is coming back. That is a comfort like no other. In this passage of scripture here in John chapter 14, Thomas asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, how can we know the way?" Knowing the way to go in life, it's one of the most troubling things, trying to figure out which way to go. Should we do this or should we do that? What decision is right, and how should we move forward, and what do we do? Well, life is full of decisions every single day. It's hard to always know what to do and where to go and how to move forward. But Jesus said to Thomas, he said, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, when we know Jesus, we know the way. We may not be able to see the way on our own, and we may not have all of the answers. We may not know what the next day is going to bring, but when we know Jesus, he is the way. Amen. Every other way is wrong, but there's such comfort in knowing that as long as we stay close to him, He will show us the way, and he will take us through. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Aren't you thankful for that today? Would you give him praise for that right now? Lord, I'm thankful that we know you, and you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the answer for the world today. Praise the Lord. Philip responded to the Lord in John chapter 14, verse 8. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? It's a comfort to see Jesus for who he really is. Amen. What Philip was asking is what every single person since that time has also asked. Who is God? What is God like? How can we know him? How can we understand him? How can we relate to him? Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. If we can just see him, then we'll be satisfied. If we can just know him, then that will be enough. I tell you today, all we need is in Jesus. Philip, have I spent so much time with you, and yet you've not realized who I am? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I tell you today, this world is troubled. This world is shaken. They're distraught. Their hearts are so stirred, and there's no better time for them to find out who Jesus is than right now in the middle of this circumstance. Because once they've seen Jesus for who he really is, there is a comfort in that like no other. When they've seen him, they've seen the Father. And oh, what a comfort it is knowing who Jesus really is. Praise the Lord. And six today, I tell you, prayer is a comfort. Prayer is a comfort. Wise people have said that we should thank God for anything that makes us pray. During this time, I must say that my prayers have gone to a new level, and I'm thankful for that. That's one thing to be thankful for in the midst of this. And some of them have been desperate times crying out to the Lord and in this time of great need. And other times it's been just putting my faith in him when I don't understand. And there's been moments of repentance. Not wanting to care just about cleansing the outside of things during this time. But also I want to remember, God, I want to cleanse the inside. And Lord, I ask that you would wash me from the inside out. I've spent much time in prayer covering my family and covering each of you, asking the Lord to protect us and place a hedge around about us. I prayed for this city perhaps more than ever before, believing that God is going to help us break the back of the prince of this area and give us great victory even through this. If you don't pray, I don't know how to explain to you the comfort that it brings. You see, sometimes prayer is a struggle. Other times, the Spirit of God just flows so freely in prayer. Sometimes we can tell we are making a difference, and other times we may just not feel the victory. But every moment we spend in prayer, it is a comfort to our soul. And in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm, there is no greater thing that we can do than to get alone somewhere with God and cry out to him and meet him in conversation. Jesus went on to say in John 14, 13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That is a comfort that nothing else in this world can give us. To know that God hears our prayers and that we have a way to move heaven and earth. To know that we have power in prayer. Oh, there is a comfort in prayer. And lastly today, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. Verse 16 through 18, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. The Lord's disciples were going to face great persecution. They were going to come against great opposition. And it was not going to be easy for them. But the Lord said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone, but I will come to you. And in that time of great turmoil and in that time of great trouble, I will be with you. I will be a comfort to you. And in this time that we are seeing in our world today, where men and women's hearts are troubled and people are stressed, they are distressed and they're worried about what to do and how they're going to pay the bills and how all of this is going to come about, I tell you, we have a promise from the Lord today. He will not leave us comfortless, but he will come to us. Praise the Lord. When I think of all who are affected by this great need in our world today. Every man, every woman, every child. Business people that they don't know how things are going to turn out. Government officials who are doing everything they know to do, but they know it's not enough. School officials who they just simply had to change with the times and adapt. Churches who are wondering when we're going to be able to meet again. Children who don't understand everything that's going on, but they feel the stress of the situation, and they know their parents are troubled, and they don't know how to respond to it. Moms and dads who perhaps have lost their job, and they don't know how they're going to get through this. Elderly people who are living in fear from catching this virus. The fearful faces that people, they've covered it by a mask to protect them from this invisible enemy. But you can feel the troubled heart. You can feel their spirit that is crying out. Healthcare workers, doctors and nurses and others who have been pushed beyond their limits to respond to this need. Caregivers who are feeling so overwhelmed. When we think of all of these today's and all of us who are impacted and the troubled hearts that fill our world. Oh, I tell you, the comfort that we need in this time, it does not come from another expert on infectious disease. It's not going to come from a government official who declares that they have all the answers. But the answer in all of this is found in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. It's found in the comfort of God's Spirit, and there is nothing like it. You need that power. You need that hope. You need that peace to comfort your soul, that peace and that comfort of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in John 14:25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be so full of his presence, so full of his spirit, full of his power. We need to be spending time in prayer. We need to spend time reading his word, interceding in the spirit, worshiping him so that everywhere we go and in every person that we meet, his presence goes with us. And they can feel that coming from our lives. They can feel the peace of God. They can see the glory of his spirit upon us. And they can feel his love that is emanating from us. On this Easter Sunday, the fact is, the comfort of the Holy Ghost, it could have never happened if Jesus Christ had not died for us. If he had not then risen from the grave and then ascended back to heaven. He said in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Could it be? Could it just be that in this time, just before the end of the world, when God desires to move like he has never moved before, could it be that all of this is just preparing us, preparing our world, preparing our lives, preparing those around us to receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost? And could it just be that his Spirit, which is going to shine through us, it would have never been received. And the revival that is coming, it would have never been possible unless our world was in such need of comfort. But I believe in this time of hearts being greatly troubled all over the world, I believe that we have the answer. And that through us, God wants to proclaim, he wants to proclaim to everyone that we can touch, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In conclusion today, I want us to pray together. We're going to pray for the peace of God. We're going to pray for the comfort of his Spirit. You see, his Spirit reaches all over the place. His Spirit is not limited by walls. His Spirit is not limited by doors. His Spirit is not even limited by the internet. His Spirit can reach into homes and touch troubled hearts. His Spirit can reach into apartments where we can't do outreach, and he can begin to move in troubled hearts and minds. His Spirit can go into hospitals where we are limited to go right now. We can't even go and pray with people, but we have to send our prayers there, and his Spirit can flow through those hospital rooms and touch those doctors and touch the nurses and heal those who are sick in body. And we're going to pray that the comfort of the Holy Ghost would minister in every one of our homes today and in our neighborhoods and in our city, in our hospitals right now. We're going to pray and ask God that he would send his angels to walk up and down those hospital halls and rooms, that he would minister to those people today and bring peace and comfort for their troubled heart. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with those that are gathered with you today? Let's pray for the peace and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you, God, for your promises. We thank you for your Spirit today. Lord, you are so good. There is nobody like you. And God, I thank you that you have sent the Comforter, which is your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for filling us today. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your love. I thank you for touching every life, every person who is listening, who is watching today. I pray that you will let the peace, let the comfort of the Holy Spirit, let it touch their lives. Let it minister to their hearts today. Oh God, let it minister to their mind today. Let there be peace. Let there be comfort. Let there be hope. Let there be help, Lord. God, I thank you for faith today. We believe in you. We trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for the power that we have in prayer. Lord, we can change heaven and earth through our prayers, and I thank you for the power of that. We pray for our city today. I pray, God, that you would touch the doctors and nurses and healthcare workers. I pray that you would minister to those who are sick in the hospital today. Minister to those who are all alone there, but somehow, God, let the comfort of your Spirit begin to move in those hospital rooms. And I pray, God, that you would encourage them and that you would let there be healing in their lives. In Jesus' name, let your healing virtue flow, I pray. I declare healing. I speak hope. I speak life in the name of Jesus. We claim it today in your name, O God. We proclaim it in Jesus' name. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. We rebuke this sickness and this virus in Jesus' name. And Lord, we praise you for your hope and your peace and your comfort that's coming today. We thank you for healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God is good. Let's love the Lord today. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the hope and the comfort that comes from you, oh God. We need that hope. We need that blessing. We need that comfort today. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for the Lord? Are you thankful that he came? God robed himself in flesh. He became like us so that he could free us from our sins. Oh, I'm thankful for his sacrifice. Amen. We celebrate today his death, his burial, but also his resurrection. Amen. He died for us that we might be set free from sin. But today he is alive and he is well. And I feel his spirit working. I feel his presence here today in my life. And I pray that you can feel it working and moving in your home today. God is so good to us. And we celebrate this Easter Sunday together. Amen. Amen. We're going to do something now that we have never done before. Amen. But this is going to be a blessing for us today, and we are going to take communion together. I submit to you that never before has communion been taken in so many places in the world as it will be today. We have made communion packs available to you, or you may have grape juice and crackers there at your home, and that's fine. If you will now get those ready, we're going to read from the Word of God. And then we're going to pray and take communion together. We want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, where Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And he was giving them direction regarding communion. And so this is the direction that I want to give us today all across this area of Southwest Missouri. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another." Who can take communion? Who can take the Lord's Supper? That does not mean today that only those who are worthy may approach the Lord's table, because if so, then all of us are excluded. None of us is worthy. And often deeply spiritual people, they're the ones who feel the most unworthy. But rather, it's an unworthy attitude in partaking. It's not approaching it in a solemn thought, in a reverent attitude. It's approaching the Lord just saying, "Well, I deserve this," and not taking reverence to what this means. And so today, we're going to pray. There in your homes, and mothers and fathers, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, and you guide your family, and you guide your children, and you make the decision of whether children are old enough to understand about communion. But we're going to pray, and we're going to all ask the Lord to search our hearts. Amen. If we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes we need to take a moment, and when you say, "Lord, I pray that you would help me reveal some things in my life. I want to make my heart right with you." You see, repentance, it's more than just, Lord, I'm sorry that I got caught. Repentance is saying, oh, God, search me, Jesus. Make, Lord, make the things of my heart clear and plain to me. Reveal that there's sin in my life, and I repent of it, Lord. It's not just begging the Lord for forgiveness, but it's repenting. It's pouring ourselves out. It's saying, I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to be unholy. I don't want to be unrighteous. I turn away from those things, God, and I want to live holy and acceptable unto you. Amen. Right where you are right now, would you pray a prayer of repentance and ask the Lord to search your heart and to wash you from the inside out right now? Dear Lord, I pray that you would reach to every life. I pray that you would touch our hearts today. Lord, I repent of every sin. I repent of every sinful thing I've done. I repent of every sinful thing I've ever said. I repent of every sinful thought, oh God, every sin. Lord, I lay it on the altar today. I want to live holy and acceptable unto you. I want my life to be pleasing unto you. Lord, if there be any sinful way in me, I pray that you reveal it to me right now. And forgive me over it, God. I pray that you would cleanse us, that you would wash us clean, Lord, as we're washing the outside and sanitizing our homes and businesses and places in public, Lord. I pray that you would wash us from the inside today, that you would cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds, cleanse our souls today, Lord. Help us, God, to be acceptable in your sight. Oh, God, help us, Jesus, to be pleasing unto you in Jesus' name. Search us, God. Search us, Lord. God, cleanse us today. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your love. And I thank you for your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And now we're going to take communion together. If you have the communion pack, if you would remove the top layer there. And sometimes these are a little difficult to get apart, the top layer, and for the bread there. And we're going to read here the words of Paul, and then we're going to take the bread together, and then later we'll take the cup. Paul said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Would you take the bread and eat it today in remembrance of his body that was broken for us? And then Paul said in verse 25, he said, after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup, it's the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Would you take the cup and would you take that remembering his blood that was shed for all of us and all of the world? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we just thank the Lord for that today? We thank you, God, for your body that was broken for us. We thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made for all of our sins, God, that we can now be set free. I bless your name. I praise your name. We give you glory and honor, oh God. You alone are worthy, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our lives. I pray that you would bring healing and hope and help. I pray that you would minister to us, oh God, today. Oh, Lord, let your spirit touch every one of our lives. And I pray that you would bring healing and hope and peace and comfort. We give you the praise for what you are doing today in every home and every life today. Glory to God. Lord, we celebrate today. Thank you, Lord, that you have risen and that you are alive and well and that you are touching our hearts and lives today. We worship you, O God. We praise your name, O Lord. Amen, amen. What a wonderful day. Amen, what a wonderful day. I wish that we were gathered together celebrating Easter, but we celebrated today, and God has been so good, and he has touched our lives. Amen. We look forward to seeing the post of your pictures below and your Easter family picture, and we're going to celebrate, and let us know if you have any prayer requests, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Amen. God bless you today. Happy Easter.